Hallelujah. Well, again, what an honor it is to be in the pulpit here at Rhema Bible Church. It's amazing that you showed up. Seriously. It's a great thing to think of that people would actually come out to church on a Sunday night and honor God. That's what we're doing here tonight, right? And to talk about the things of God and to have a message that glorifies Jesus, lifts him up, and then also helps us to live the life that he has planned and purposed for us. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is some characteristics of the calling, some characteristics of the calling of God. And the great thing about it is the Bible includes all of us in the calling of God, that every one of us has received a calling from God, a divine invitation, if you will, from God. And that's probably the first and foremost characteristic of the calling, is that it is divine. It comes from God. It is of God. It's not my decision. It's not your decision. It's God. And that decision was made before the foundation of the world. Amen. You see, God knew exactly who would be here tonight. Does this mean this is all that it would be God's will to be here? No, but God knew you'd be here tonight. And he knew exactly who would be here tonight. You know, God knows all things. He's been here already. Amen. You know what I'm saying? He's timeless, so he's already been here. I heard somebody say that one time. That blew my mind, that God's already been to your future. And I thought, that violates the space-time continuum. You better get Star Trek, you know, the temporal agents in here and arrest God or something. But no, God has already been to your future. Amen. And then, and you know anything about God and God's plan, what is it? It's going to be good, because God is good. He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's so good that when he had to judge us, he sent his son to take that judgment for us. That's how good God is. Amen. And then he's so good, he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. So we might be alive. Oh, man. How good is God? We could talk about that for a long time. Never exhaust the goodness of God. Sometimes, you know, I think we forget about the goodness of God. And we need to make sure we understand that. You know, here at school this term, I get to teach a class called The Minister's Heart. And I'm spending the whole first half of the term talking about having faith in God's love for you. I don't know how would I minister to anyone else in God's love if I don't know God loves me. Amen? And so we're spending time talking about that. It's such a wonderful thing to never forget. You know, I heard someone say this, don't ever quit preaching the gospel to yourself. That God loves you. That God so loved you. Now, you know, it didn't stop when you believed. He keeps on loving. He still loves, right? Sometimes we, well, I believe. No, God's still loving. He's still loving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, if you have your Bible there. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We'll begin in verse 1. I'm going to be reading from I have the King James Bible here in front of me. It's just what I got used to. Now, I tend to take the these and thous out, so, and the ye's and the all that kind of thing, but it is a King James Bible, okay? Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or that means I'm seriously asking you that you would walk worthy of the, King James says vocation, but it's actually the same word as calling later on, that you would walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, if you go back to the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, you see that this is written, this book was written to the saints and the faithful in Christ. Not just those at Ephesus, but everyone who's a saint and is faithful in Christ. In other words, he's talking to the body of Christ here. To you and I. Every member of the body of Christ. And he said, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. He said, and he talked about why he was, that he's the prisoner of the Lord. But he said, I'm beseeching you. He said, I'm deeply asking you from the inside of me that you would walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Now, we're going to spend our time talking today about being called and what some characteristics of that calling. But here talking, there's the aspect of worthy of it, of walking worthy of it and doing right by it. We can look at that later, but not in tonight's. That's not the purpose, if you will, of tonight's message. But there is that aspect of it, of fulfilling what God has called us to do. All right. But that's and in looking at that, always remember this. Your standing with God is not based on whether or not you walk worthy of the calling. He still loves you. You're still his child. You understand that? See, that's what sometimes we get ourselves, if we're not careful, we got delivered from a works-based salvation. But if we're not careful, we want to live a works-based Christianity. And God's not works-based. He gave us the works of the law to show us we didn't measure up. So he measured us up through Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And we stay measured through Christ. That's how I'm measured in him. And you are too. That doesn't mean that, again, we're not saying we shouldn't do our part. Yes, we're going to do our part. And fulfill our role in God's plan. And that's why he has a calling on our life. All right. One of the aspects of the calling is I like to think of it this way. It's God's divine invitation to participate in what God's doing today in the earth. To participate in every area. Now, you know, for some, he goes on in Ephesians, talks about those who are preaching gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He talks about them. But then he talks about everyone doing the work of the ministry, right? Well, all of us. Pastor Hagin has an excellent book out there called Called of God. You want to look in more detail and, you know, to get a book concerning it. I think that's an excellent book on it. That everyone is called of God. And there are no, if you will, there are no rankings of callings. But your calling might carry with it the responsibility and the time that you have to give yourself full time to it in the local church. But if you're called to be a school teacher, that's a calling from God. And it takes divine gifts to do that correctly. You understand that? Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Okay? Now that everybody's still part of a local church and that type of thing. But when we talk about calling here, I don't want you to get in your mind, well, you're just talking about the preachers. No. I'm talking about all the saints and the faithful in Christ. Every single one of us. All right? And we're to walk worthy. But he goes down here, and I wanted to get to verse 4. He says, there is one, and you are called in one hope of your calling. Brother Bill brought that out, that firm confidence. Expectation. You see, we have that hope, that firm confidence that when we pray over this prayer clause, that God's power goes, so therefore we pray. See, that's the faith part of it. Faith's the action part of the hope. You know, if we just said, well, you know, we're confident, but if we never prayed for them and never sent them out, they never went, then you haven't acted on what you hoped for, have you? But he says, there's one hope. And notice it says, of your calling here. Now, who has that? That's God. Now, I want you to drop back to chapter 1 here for just a moment. In this prayer of that we can pray for each one of us and pray for ourselves that Paul mentions. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, our Lord. Wasn't Paul just Paul's Lord? It's all of our Lords, right? See, it's not just Paul's calling, it's all of us are called. The Father of glory may give unto you, that's all the saints and the faithful, that's you, he's talking about you right now and me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
And notice this very first thing here, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, obviously here, we would be mistaken. It's not our topic again tonight. But we'd be mistaken to not point out that part of this calling is what we are called to inherit as Christians through our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation. That's part of this calling. We are called to partake of salvation. Right? Or think of it this way. We are called to partake of the finished work of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God. We are called to partake of that. But then again, when we pair it with what we just read in chapter 4, there is that hope and calling. See that together again? So one of the characteristics of a calling is that it carries an expectation with it and a confident expectation. Now notice it says, what is the hope of his calling? What does that mean? This God is the one who determines what you and I are called or invited to do. It's his calling. I can't call anyone into the ministry. Okay, I can't call anyone. It's not my position. I wouldn't have the knowledge to know, you know, or the ability to give you the gifts necessary to call. To call you because confident expectation. I think about that really in thinking about that confident expectation that God has. It's God's, the hope of his calling. What is God confidently expecting me to do while I'm still here on this earth? You see, and as I think of that, I come to the realization that when I stand before the Lord as a resident of heaven, but I stand before him there, not whether or not I'm getting to heaven, but the Bible talks about crowns being passed out, different things of that. I'm going to give an account of what I did in this body with what? With that calling. All right? Just like Jesus told the parable of the ones that had the talents. What did you do with it? Okay? But in that sense, we're already in heaven, so that judgment there is not, it's not a judgment of and you know, not all judgment is bad. Sometimes we think judge, but sometimes we have to judge ourselves, don't we? And that's a cleansing thing that takes place. Cut some things off from us. But what is the hope? What is God confidently expecting me to fulfill with the calling that he's called me with? What about you? What is God? What is the hope? Now he says here that we would know, that we would know. So every Christian here, every child of God should know, not be guessing, but should know what it is God has called them to do. Amen. Well, I would say this. If you don't know, a couple things. You're not spending time in his word yourself. And you're not spending time talking to God in prayer. Because God is a great communicator. I found that out. You know, I know one thing I was thinking, man, I can't believe it. I can't believe that, God, you're just now talking to me about this. I actually said that to God. And I kind of heard that little, on the inside, you know, that little, it's better to say, I can't believe I'm just now hearing this, God. God's a great communicator. And he can, but he said, we're to pray here. I can see, you know, Paul even said, you know, God, that everyone would know what is the hope, the confident expectation of your calling. Called to what? Well, to walk in the blessings of salvation and the finished work of Christ, but also called to take part, to be invited. Is it Romans 11:29 that says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance? Why? God's not going to change his mind. He's already confidently expecting it to happen. I heard somebody, you know, we're not necessarily going to talk about the giftings tonight, the divine endowments of God's grace that come along with the calling. I heard someone say this. I thought this was a good definition of a calling. It is the avenue that God has designed for you for the manifestation of the gifts he's given you. In other words, like God prepared a street for you to walk down, And he gave you the gifts to do it. Now it's up to us to walk it. To walk it out. He's not going to make you. But you are sure invited to come. Right? Look at 2 Timothy now, chapter 1. You know, I just find myself gravitating back to these scriptures when I'm praying about, you know, Lord, where do you want us, you know, as far as ministry wise, especially to the body of Christ. And because I want every one of you to stand before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't believe that's enter into heaven. I think that you're told that after you're already in heaven. When we bring it over into after the cross, after the resurrection. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin in verse 6. He says, therefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So where's that gift of God reside? On the inside of us. All right. Now, Paul's going to tie it here again with the calling as we get down here. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, it's kind of interesting there. You know, a lot of folks, they'll read that and they'll major on the power part and the sound mind part. And those are vital. They're all vital. But what about this love part? What does love have to do with not being in fear? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. How many of you know fear will paralyze you if you let it? Fear will keep you from stepping out and using the gifts that God has given you. And that's not God's plan. We know that. Okay. But what does, like somebody says, what does love have to do with it? All right. I said, what's that mean? If you don't know, you're all right. Just don't worry about it. It's all right. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, finished, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, that's not fear, is it? Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Now, that's an absolute statement, isn't it? That doesn't leave any room for fear in the love of God. He's talking about this God that is love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now, when I read this, I have to turn over to this in the Living Bible. Let me turn to it here or click to it. Would that be a better way to say it? If I'm going to do it on my device, I'm going to click to it or something of that sort. But here in 1 John, this is the Living Bible. Taylor's paraphrase, but I think he got some good things going here. We'll start in verse 16. We know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living with God and God is living in him. And as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. So we will not be ashamed and embarrassed at the day of judgment, but can face him with confidence and joy because he loves us and we love him too. Now, if you ever notice that it's always God loves us first, it was his idea, folks. All right? My love for him is a reaction to his love for me. But listen to verse 18 now from the Living Bible. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. Now, there is a fear of the Lord that's reverence for God, but it's not being afraid of God. It's not afraid of what? That God's wanting to punish me. That God's going to get me. You know, God's going to get you if you don't watch out. Well, you know, if God wanted to get you, you've been God already. I mean, he's not waiting for an opportunity. He could have got you. But he goes on to say, he says, his perfect love for us. Now, listen to this. Eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us, and shows that we're not fully convinced that he really loves us. See, God has not given us, I'm back in 2 Timothy now, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. What kind of love that cast out fear? Why? By the Holy Ghost that's shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5 said. He's given us that love on the inside. And when you are fully convinced, when you have known and you believe the love that God has for you, you live a fearless life. Why? Because really, if God is for you, what do you have to fear? If God is for me, what can man do unto me? He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Right? So if I know God is for me, and if I know God loves me perfectly, I don't have any reason to fear anything. So I can step out and do what God has called me to do. All that's involved in it, the preparation time, the everything that needs to happen to do it. But I can do it fearlessly and confidently, knowing this: God has got my back. Now, what would happen if you did fall back? What's back there? Goodness and mercy. Amen. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. You're going to fall right back into the mercy of God. Amen. Now, part of the song I don't like too much, but we fall down, but we get up. I like that part. Some of the other part of it's not very scriptural. But don't ever stay down. Why? Because goodness and mercy is going to be there to lift you up. But see, perfect love casts out fear. So I can do what God's called me to do. See, you can start that business. Do all your due diligence, do everything. But yeah, if that's what it is, start the business. You can pass that class. You can get that degree if that's what God has for you. You can work with those children. Well, now, brother, you're getting way out there now. Amen. You can have a successful marriage. You can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Come on now. Because that perfect love. So he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1. Be not therefore ashamed. He said, you don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. See, the only way to partake of the afflictions is in the power of God. What does that mean? I win every time, right? Now look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us, now notice this, here's one of the great characteristics of the calling, with a holy calling. A holy calling. Holy means this, set apart for divine purpose. It's holy. It's sanctified. Comes from the same word there, holy and sanctified. It's set apart. It is a holy thing that God has called you to do. And it may not have anything whatsoever necessarily to do with in the local church or in a ministry, but you could be a business person, you can be in something else, you could be in the medical field, and it be a holy calling. And people don't understand it, but when you walk in the room, the peace of God comes in the room. And the holiness of God comes in the room, and the presence of God is there. Amen. With a holy, it's a holy calling that you have. And it's something to be respected, something to be treated as if it's holy. It's not fragile. Now, holiness doesn't mean fragile. Sometimes we think God's fragile. He's not fragile. Amen. I used to laugh, folks used to think, of course, those folks that think this, they're not really pastors, because pastors live with they're touchable. Not every church the pastor goes to a door after church and shakes hands with people. Some of them, they run to the back room and hide. I just wonder sometimes. You know, but you got to be touchable in ministry, because I found this out. I found this out. The anointing's not fragile. I may be, because the anointing's the mighty Holy Ghost. He's not fragile. Glory to God. So he says this. It's a holy calling. Now notice this. Not according to our works. You can't earn a calling. Paul wrote earlier, he said, not many wise folks. You know, it basically, it's not based on your own background. He said, it's not according to our works, but according, now look at this, to his own purpose. And purpose here. It's interesting. This is an interesting word if you do some study on it. It means to uncover, basically, to bring out into the light. This is my purpose. In other words, you're going to lay down, this is my plan. God, it's according to his purpose and his plan. God, how many of you found that this God is a God of purpose? He has a plan. And if we do things according to his plan and his purpose, then things go a whole lot smoother for us. How many of you have done like me and you took your plan to God and tried to get it to make it his purpose? Try to convince God, God, would you please make my plan your purpose? No, it doesn't work that way. Find out God's plan, it's already his purpose. It works so much better that way. His plan and his purpose. God's a God of purpose. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14 for a moment. Let's look at something here. You know, his purpose is undefeatable, if you will. It's not, you're not going to change it. You know what that means? I mean, you're not going to talk God out of it. That's why he said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Here in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 27 is where I want to look. You doing all right? The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, who said that? The Lord of hosts. I think the Message Bible says the God of the angel armies, or whatever that means, right? He says, it shall stand. Whatever God's purposed, it shall stand. Now, he's talking specifically about something, but we get some here. But then we also get the how God operates. He says, I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains and tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Glory to God. Listen to this. Listen to this in the, I looked at it, New Living Translation. The Lord of Heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided. Wow. I will break the Assyrians when they are in Israel. I will trample them on my mountains. My people will no longer be their slaves nor bow down under their heavy loads. Look at verse 26. I have a plan for the whole earth and a hand of judgment upon all the nations. The Lord of Heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? Now listen, he said here that it's according to his purpose. 2 Timothy 1, 9 again. It's according to this holy calling, which is according to his purpose. See, God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Amen. And with Ephesians 4, there's only one plan and one purpose, because there's only one hope for that calling. God doesn't have plan B. See, he already knows. He's like you said, he's been to our future. He knows when we get off, if we got off track, he knows. And he knows exactly. He knew exactly every step you were going to take before you got here tonight. And he still has a purpose for your life and a plan for your life. Now you're still, yes, we're free will agents. We have a free will. He's created us that way. But he knows ahead of time. You say, how can, I don't understand that. He's God, okay? Just believe what his word says. He's God, and he knows how to do all that. See, if we knew sometimes, that's why, how many of you found this out, you know, if you've been, how many have been Christians, say, let's say, over 35 years? Any over 35 years in here? Okay, some of us in here. Have you found this out with God? He doesn't really tell you too far in advance what it is. He just tells you what's the next plan. Do this next. Because I don't know how you are, but I know me. If I knew 5 years from now, people say, well, what's your 5-year plan? I plan to be walking with God. I don't know my 5-year plan. Still serving God, still doing what God called me to do. Amen. I'm working on the next step. All right. This afternoon, you say, well, what's God's plan for your life? I'm going to show up at church tonight. And I've been put on the preaching schedule, so that's what I'm planning on doing. I know that's the next plan. What's your plan for tomorrow? School, I'm going to be at Rhema Bible Training College tomorrow in the morning. Why? Because I'm the dean. I got to go. Amen? What are you going to be doing in May? God willing, I'll be there at graduation on May 18th. Saying with the entire graduating, you know, whatever I say. I can't remember what I say now. But you know what I'm saying? But 5 years from now, I don't know. I don't have any plans of change. You know what I'm saying? But if it's me, see, I'm going to go out there and try to then get involved and make it all happen and figure out, you know. You know, here's what some of us do. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? And you try to figure out the men. Okay, where are they? It's you. No, God's told you, right? You're supposed to be giving. God's told me that you're supposed to give me $1,000. God spoke to me, and you're one of them. There's a million of you out there, but you're one of them. Right? See, I'm getting involved in it. You understand what I mean by that? So just to fulfill this divine, and it has this purpose, it's to take the next step. And then take the next step, and then the next step. And then you'll be further down the road than you were before, but you're still in God's plan and God's purpose. And sometimes we veer off some, but God can get us back. God can get us back. Amen. He says, I'm back in 2 Timothy, he says, according to his own purpose and grace, thank God for the grace of God, which he has given us in Christ Jesus. I love this last statement here I want to read. Before the world began. That tells us this, that just like God's love, he loved, Jesus said in John 17, Father, show them that you love them just as you love me, and that you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now I'm putting several scriptures together there. With this calling and this purpose that we have in life, God made a decision before the world ever began. He thought about you. And he knows you'd be here tonight. And he knew this message would be preached tonight. And he knew that these words have the ability to penetrate into your very innermost being and cause faith to rise up to say, I can do this. I can do what God has called me to do. Let me ask you a question. Two questions. Why not you? Why not you? Second part of that, why not now? Why do you have to wait? Well, I'm in training. Okay, then you're in God's plan. That's what God's called you to do. But see, we need to live a why not me and a why not now. Amen. You know, I'm looking at my life. It was very unfortunate. Some of us, I see some of them that were here. Thursday night, we gathered together to celebrate the way too short life of one of our dear friends. brother in Christ. 26 years old, went home to be with the Lord, which is okay for him, but that stinks for the rest of us. He was a young man and was always thinking, why not me? Why not now? Always thinking that. He challenged me. As different people got up to talk, everything was said challenged me again, refired my thinking on this again. Why not me? Why not now? You know, I just turned 57 a few days ago. That's not old. That's what Brother Hagin was in this same age group when Rhema started. Praise the Lord. Why not me? Why not you? Why not now? Well, I'm this age. Why not you? You can't give me a good reason. Why not you? Yeah, but no. But God. Yeah, but no. But God, who is rich in mercy, with a great love wherewith he loves you, saved you according to his grace, and has got a divine calling on your life. Amen? It's a holy calling. It's a divine invitation from God, and it's one calling. It's a single, it could be many faceted, but with God, it's one. It's all part of the same one calling he has on your life. Now, the great thing about the calling, and we'll end with this, is that none of us are called to do it alone. The rest of the body of Christ, when we all, you know, if we all do what we're called, having, you know, the rest of the body does what they're called, it all gets done. Amen. But don't be called to be a little toe and then try to be an elbow. That's going to be bad trouble. You're going to be out of place. Does that make sense to you? Father, I just ask you right now, I pray this same prayer that Paul prayed, that you, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, will give unto each and every one a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What is the riches, that they may know what is the hope of your calling. The riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. Father, I thank you and praise you that your gifts and callings are without repentance. And Father, I just ask you to continue. Father, maybe some have become dull of hearing, but continue. Don't stop talking to them. I know you haven't. Send folks, Father God, to help them. Bring your word up on the inside of their heart that they might hear. And that we would find that answer. Why not me? Why not now? Father, thank you. We can live this life fearlessly because you love us perfectly. Thank God we don't have to be afraid of a God who loves us so perfectly. Father, so we yield ourselves to you. Give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, our ladies are here. The men on this side, the ladies on this side. Ladies, come to the ladies, men to the men. And they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. And we believe you'll leave here with your answer met. Amen. Connection team, let's go ahead and find those first-time guests, if you will. Those folks that came on out tonight, we're so glad that you are here. And thank you for coming. We're going to take you to get that gift that's prepared for you on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagin. Amen. Welcome to Rhema Bible Church tonight. Give them a big hand clap as they go. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Anything going on, gentlemen, anything going on we need to, we're good. Get your bulletin, read it. All kinds of great things happening. And then, of course, Raymond, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you. Shake hands with some folks tonight before you leave. Let them know how much you love them. Amen.